Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, there's so many things happening around the world, and you can get so caught up in just what you need to do in your daily life, because life just becomes busy and there's things to do. But there's one thing that we can never, never, ever forget to do, and that's really to take care of the poor among us. You know, the Word of God says we're always going to have the poor, mm-hmm. and there's always going to be those that are, you know, disadvantaged and those that have less. And it's our opportunity, especially as believers, to have compassion. It's our opportunity to see people that don't have even just the basics. Mm-hmm. And there's a woman out in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're calling her the modern day Mother Teresa. Because she has a church, listen to this, she has an outdoor church that ministers to homeless people.
Wow.
I mean, it's powerful.
Wow.
I mean, there's many people that have been, many ministries that have ministered to homeless people, but what she kind of does is pretty unique, and I think it's pretty exciting. Listen as CBN reports.
Well, more than 600,000 Americans are homeless. For those living on the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, one grandmother is providing help 7 days a week. And as Ephraim Graham reports, some are even calling her a modern-day Mother Teresa.
The streets of Charlotte are home to more than 3,000 people. Rory Hot Dog Montgomery is one of them.
The way I was explaining, you are where you want, where God wants you to be at that time that He wants you to be there. I don't consider myself homeless. I'm just residentially disadvantaged.
At 63, Rory can fit all he owns in a shopping cart, but he's not bitter about his lot in life. Mm.
If I can do something good for somebody, even though I don't have, then maybe somebody that have can do something else for somebody else that don't have.
And Hot Dog's giving heart is pumped even bigger on Sunday afternoon.
God will never be talking back to you.
When he joins dozens of other homeless for church in this parking lot.
Get you off that corner of the block, you ain't in the riffraff. This might be the time something happened up there and God put me here to save me.
Doing mission work and traveling to different countries.
The tireless grandmother behind this growing church without walls is Freddie Power.
Okay. By God's grace, I'm not there. You know, we all could be there.
This is the second homeless church Miss Freddie has started through her Keeping Hope Alive ministry. Though she makes regular mission trips to Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, and South Africa, she rarely misses a chance when at home to join her faithful.
Rain, snow, anything. One day it was snowing so hard, I thought there's no one going to be there. And I thought, no, I'm going to take groceries, I'm going to go. And there were five men with umbrellas with coats on. And wow. They were just covered in snow. And we fed them and had church service. So they come no matter what.
They come for encouragement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like God says that He's just really proud of you in that role that you have.
Prayer.
He will always take care of me.
He will always take care of me.
And food.
Hi. How's your job going? It's okay. Did you find a place to live?
This is still a walk of faith for Miss Freddie, who emptied her bank account to buy groceries for that very first service in 2008.
22 people gave their heart to Jesus that weekend. So I said, okay, God, what are you doing? Is that, what are you doing here? Just to do it again? And He said, yes, I want you to go do it again. Someone gave me money. So we were around, and 22 more people gave their heart to Jesus. And then He said, I want you to start a church for the homeless. Put out a few plastic chairs, and I'll bring the people.
Freddie Power's first church to the homeless began here on the corner of Duckworth and Wesley Heights on the streets of Charlotte. It's a corner with real spiritual significance for the city.
How are you today?
How are you?
I didn't see you last week.
That's because it meets just across the street from the site of a famous church built by Alfred Garr in the 1930s.
Even during the Depression, he brought the old Coliseum of Charlotte a brick at a time over here to build this. Mm. And it was this thick. The walls were this thick. And he paid them a sandwich a day just for the working. Isn't that amazing? And he believed in that church. And he believed that God's, the Holy Spirit was coming in power.
Labeled a 20th century apostle, Gar's miracle meetings often made headlines in the Charlotte Observer. Miss Freddie kids, says she and her team still witness miracles in the neighborhood today.
Someone invited me to come to the Gar Church land. The building was there then, and we felt the presence of the Lord still on the place for all the miracles that happened during that time. That's what's so great about it. We show up and God does the rest. I don't do that part. I don't do the miracles, but He does. And He saves people and He heals people.
Hot Dog is one of those miracles. Though blind in one eye, he can still create works of art like this with just a pencil, a Q-tip, and an eraser.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I use what God gave me when I can.
When you can.
Give me a little peace of mind.
He has such talent. He's amazing. And there he is on the streets. I couldn't believe it.
Miss Freddie offers only one prayer for Hot Dog and for the other walking miracles on these streets.
I want God to be real to them right where they're at. I want them to live a supernatural miracle life right where they're at.
And they have only one prayer for Miss Freddie.
I pray that she come back. That's for sure. I pray that she have safe trips and do what she have to do to make her world and other people's world better.
And that work is why some call her Charlotte's Mother Teresa.
You'll find it. You're doing good.
All right.
All right, see
you. You coming next week?
I'll be here. Yeah.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News, Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's so powerful. One woman willing to go where the homeless are to feed them, take care of them, minister to them, love on them. Mm-hmm. You know, the Word of God tells us that he who lends to the poor gives to God.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that statement here. Think about that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than a statement. It's in the Bible.
That's right.
He who lends to the poor, he who gives to the poor lends to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so powerful when you look at that and you see that in America, there's over 600,000 people that are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a home. You know, we can take so much for granted, and it's so important that we don't do that, that we take care of the least of those that are among us. In fact, Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, done to me.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true, is that if we don't do it for the least of those among us, we're not taking care of Jesus. We're not mm-hmm. loving on
right.
him. And this is one of the ways that our faith can be displayed, our love for God can be displayed, is when we make sure that we, first of all, appreciate what God has done for us, but also that we reach out and help others. And mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about some really difficult times that the Lord has already told us prophetically that are coming. Our only hope is going to be in God.
Right.
Don't. Unfortunately, sometimes people have to go through a hardship or a trial before they can, you know, have some compassion for others. Why have to be homeless to take care of the homeless? Why have to go be hungry to have a compassion to take care of the hungry? When mm-hmm. you can ask God, touch me with your compassion. Touch me. Give me eyes to see mm-hmm. the hurting.
Right.
And when you think about 600,000 people, I mean, I just love how they were just going out there and people were just gathering. Mm-hmm. People will come.
That's right.
People will come and you can minister to them physically,
yeah,
and you can minister to them in their spiritual needs. But I don't know if you guys know this, that there is a place, it's in California, and I believe there's one in Colorado, called Slab City. I have never heard of it before. Basically, another name called for, it's not a real city, by the way. It's also known as the Slabs, but it's basically a place, and this is from their website. It calls itself the official Slab City website. It says it's a place where RVs can come and camp out in the desert, but it's also a place where squatters come to live.
Wow.
And formerly, the one in California, it used to be a U.S. Marine Corps training base since it was used during World War II. Well, since then, that base was closed down. The buildings were deconstructed. They were, I guess, removed. And what was left on that the ground were the slabs. Well, that property has been now given back to the state of California. They don't have any future use for it. So people come from all over the place, and they come and they camp. Sometimes there's retirees that camp there and people that are traveling. There are no camp fees. Campsite parking is on first-come, first-served basis. There's no water, no sewer, no trash pickup, no electricity. It is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about it, I guess, is that it's a place where you can go and kind of live for free.
Yeah.
You know, live for free. And I want you to listen to a testimony. I want you to listen to a testimony of a young girl that takes care of their family. We're so disconnected in America from the realities that are living, that, you know, that people are living every single day. And as Christians, as believers, my goodness, we need God to touch us with a heart of compassion. We need God to help us to take care of those that are, you know, less fortunate than us, and to get a perspective, one, on how blessed we are, and two, that people are living today in despair. They're living today hungry. They're living today without modern-day conveniences. And I want you to listen to Allie as she shares what her daily life is like as a young girl that's part of a family that lives in Slab City.
I came out here because my family and I can't afford to live in the city, and we just need to have a place to stay where we can, you know, not pay so much and kind of save money. My parents and I came in a minivan and a trailer with 11 people inside, including me and the rest of my siblings, and then four other people. Since I'm the older sister and I have more responsibilities, like I help out with the kids, I help my mom out because she went through surgery. My dad is not feeling well because he was in a car accident, so it's kind of messed up his back where he can't bend over and do the things I can do. We are living off of food stamps and cash aid from the government. That keeps us going for a while until they get on their business again and get it going and working and whatnot. Once we save all the money we can, we'll go out there and hopefully we'll buy a house and then live like we were before. I miss playing with my siblings on the carpet and being able to roll around and not worry about the dirt. And I miss having a green lawn. Mainly I just miss being indoors.
I'm always constantly busy. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm changing diapers. My hands are always busy.
It's very stressful because we're such a big family. There's so many of us, so many energies, so much going on that it could wear you out where it, like, you felt like you just took a long run and you needed to, you know, get some water and take a break.
Since my life is mainly, you know, about the noise and the craziness and the chaos and constantly yelling back and forth, there's times where through the whole week when I have too much noise and I need a break and I need peace and quiet, when I finally get it, I take longer than what I should be coming back. My parents out here, they want to make sure that I'm not, you know, gone hours on end, and they start worrying about me and wondering where I'm at.
I have a lot on my shoulders. It's being a mom, even though I'm not a mom. It's being a sister, being there for them, and then being there for myself. My goals in life, I've always wanted to be an actress. It sounds pretty funny, but when I'm in the bathroom, I talk to myself in the mirror, and I do roles. Getting to dress up and be in different roles and work with different people, that's part of the reason why I love acting, and it's very exciting to just act like a different person, not always being yourself. You get to be other people, which is really the fun part.
That's amazing. We want to make sure that this video is available for you on the Torch, because you got to see it.
Yeah.
You just heard her words, but what you were not able to see were the living conditions where the kids played. Now, this young girl couldn't have been more than maybe 14, 15 years old, and she's sharing about how her family lives in Slab City. She's sharing how they 11 of them at one time, 11, were living in a mobile home, not a mobile home, what do you call those? A camping trailer, like a
RV.
An RV.
Yeah.
An RV. And I just couldn't, I was watching the video and just seeing everything that's happening there. Her parents were not working. Her father hurt his back and was not able to work. You'd be surprised at how many people in America are really just one illness away, mm-hmm. one disability away,
yeah,
from losing their home, from going bankrupt. It's listen, life is fragile. It's when you need to be dependent upon God. It isn't, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, mm-hmm. over and over and over again, having been in the insurance business. And it's amazing to see just different things that happen to folks. And you're looking at here Allie and her testimony and her family, and you're seeing kids that are playing in the dirt. And the things that she wishes that she had, not a room for herself amongst the 11 people, but she says that she misses that she has a carpet.
Yeah.
A carpet that they can roll around on and just sit on. Mm-hmm. She says she misses the fact that she can't come inside.
Yeah.
You only have small quarters.
Indoors.
Yeah. Indoors, you know. And I think about here recently, we've experienced a ton of rain in the Gulf Coast, which keeps a lot of people indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And you imagine folks that are squatting and living in those type of conditions that are homeless in extreme weather, whether it be heat, cold, or even just wet and rain. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
You don't like being wet, leaving your car to get into your house, much less living in a place that maybe is being rained on. And I know that as we were watching this, and just our hearts were just started just to break. I mean, you got to see this. It's going to be available for you on The Torch. I strongly recommend that you take a look at this, because it's really going to give you a perspective that maybe you may not have known about that's happening in this country, that you have not even seen. This could be happening in your very own community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, I saw that you were looking intently.
Yeah, man. It's just that it was very, you know, like you said, it's heartbreaking to see that. And it just makes you think that, you know, like you even saying a minute ago, is how close are we to that? You know, just one illness away, you know, one car accident away, you know, whatever it may be. But it's just, you know, it's not even on the grid of most people of what's going on.
And that's what's uh-huh. scary. That's what's scary, because you can walk around with this. Really, it's pride that you're holding everything together. I've got everything in plan. I've got a good job. I work out. I eat healthy. You have all these plans, not knowing that everything is held together just by God. It's just everything is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. And when you recognize how fragile life really is, you really walk in a place of dependency and the fear of the Lord and humility towards God. Because as you're saying, Chris, at any moment, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I looked at the image of there was a little boy as she was talking. He was on a tricycle, and he was just going in the tightest little circles on a little cement slab, and then he was surrounded by, you know, their stack of clothes because they didn't
stacks
have...
Stacks and stacks and stacks.
Yeah, because they didn't have the room inside, and it's just like, how often do you... I mean, I think about myself as a child because I complained because I couldn't leave the cul-de-sac, or I couldn't leave the driveway. I had to stay within the eyes of my aunts and uncles or whoever. And it's just that perspective of, just like Chris is saying, it's not even on our grid. And I know myself, it's just like I've caught myself complaining, like you're talking about, as far as having to cut grass or be outside. Mm-hmm. And it's just the things that we don't even take in consideration that God gives us that we don't even mm-hmm. think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally changes it.
Yeah, it just totally reminds me of, you know, a situation early in my life that, you know, like you said, life is fragile. And, you know, one day everything's fine. You're in your home, you're warm, your kids are taken care of. And then, you know, next thing you know, your world gets rocked. And you may be homeless for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, by the grace of God, I wasn't in the streets, but there was a time in my life that I didn't have my own home.
Yeah.
My whole family was, you know, we basically lived out of a room.
Yeah.
You know, and it just really just brings it all back in perspective, as, you know, it went for the grace of God in my life. the way he carried me and carried mm-hmm. my family during that time. It was just a miracle. I mean, and it was a journey out of that situation. And today God's blessed me. I have my own home now, you know, and, my kids have their own rooms, you know, it's just miraculous. And, I appreciate everything that I have, you know, cause I can appreciate where they're at. You know, I can't say that I was in that same predicament, but it was, you know.
Yeah. It was a challenge.
It was definitely a challenge. Yeah. You know?
It was a challenge. And the thing about that is that if you don't understand that this could be anybody's reality, this could be anybody's reality. And, you know, oftentimes you hear folks saying negative things about someone that's homeless or you see, you know, or a family or what's going on. You really have no idea what's going on in other people's lives. And it's better that we just don't reserve judgment, don't even judge, and just move in love. Because oftentimes people want to attribute, they see such horrible things like what we saw in the video and just want to assess a blame or say you could do this or you could do that. And without understanding that, listen, it's not necessarily time for that. It's what can we do to help and help someone get out of that situation. You know, it's people don't need a verbal beat down, nor do they need just a pep me up, but they need a hand up. And they also need to be loved, you know, into the kingdom of God and encouraged and equipped so that they can have a, you know, productive life and get back on their feet and do the things that you just don't know. Right. You just don't know. And I think about that as a father, and I look at those children. It's, you know, when you have children and you just hate to see children suffer unjustly. You know what I mean? Mm. Because, I mean, all suffering is not bad. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered.
That's right.
The suffering does have its place, but we're talking about just unjust suffering. And you just heart goes out because you just don't know any better. They don't know. We did a segment on VFN Radio called Compassion, Where Has It Gone? And we talked about the motel kids in Orange County.
Yeah, I remember that.
And how the little boys would go dumpster diving for toys. Mm-hmm. And they would be ecstatic, which is a little boy in the video ecstatic because he got a car. Listen, God is trying to help us to have his perspective, to help us to love the poor, to help us to reach out to them and to minister to them and to be moved with compassion. In the extra hour, we're going to talk about the dynamic duo, grace and compassion. You don't want to miss it. But we need this in our heart. We need this in our life. It helps us to be humble. It helps us to be low. It helps us to get the pride out of our life because we recognize that everything is held by God. Mm-hmm. And if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done.
That's right.
And you look at what's happening in America. America's being humbled right now. We're going to get a chance to talk about the economy and what's happening, and it's not getting better. They're saying it's going to get worse. But let me tell you something. Our only hope is God. And that's why we need to turn our hearts to him. We got to be, you know, love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to abide. We need to hear from him daily. Let me tell you something. God will take care of his people. But there is a discipline that's happening across this country. Mm-hmm. And we just want to say, oh my goodness, Lord, you know, here we are. Have your way. How can I respond to you in the fear of the Lord? And what would you have me to do to take care of others? I want you to listen to a segment that we did on VFN Radio called God's Perspective on the Poor. And this is out of a wisdom moment. And I want you to be encouraged and be empowered to see the poor in a whole new light. Listen up.
We're going to go right into the word of wisdom. The moment of wisdom today is going to be from Proverbs chapter 22, because it's the 22nd of the month. Mm-hmm. And we're going to begin to look at, you know, in this moment of wisdom, you know, God's perspective, God's wisdom in regards to the poor. You know, I just had a chance before coming in the studio today to go spend some time with Kathy. Oh, you know, cool. She's preparing today to be able to go into the streets to feed the homeless. And she had people all over her house, you know, Streets and Lanes Ministry, making sandwiches, had all these bowl hot dogs. Wow. And, you know, it was just beautiful to see that. And, you know, we got to have her on the air to be able to share, you know, what is God's perspective of the poor? Mm. You know, mm-hmm. In Proverbs 22:2 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them both.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's so important that, you know, we understand that every human being was created by God.
Right.
And so if that human being that God loves is suffering injustice, if they're hungry, if mm-hmm. they're homeless, you know, God's concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's made you both.
That's right.
You know, and you think about also in Proverbs 22:9, he says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor.
Mm. Right.
So God makes the poor man and the rich man, mm-hmm. the poor woman and the rich woman. And that a generous man is blessed because he actually shares his food with the poor man. And Proverbs 19:17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to God, and he will reward him for what he has done. We're getting mm-hmm. a perspective of poverty here and poor mm-hmm. and how God's perspective is. And finally, in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing.
Mm.
But he who closes his eyes, and this is what I'm talking about, to them receive many curses.
Mm.
It's so, so important for us to understand that God has made the poor, everybody on the face of the earth. And so if you have, you're looking at two people here, you're looking at a man walking in a three-piece suit,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's walking down, you know, Manhattan Avenue or the Avenue of Americas or something. And, you know, he's dressed nice. He's got a nice watch on, you know, he's a metrosexual, you know, that's what they call him, you know, all dressed up and stuff like that. Pat's looking at me like, what? John can explain it in the city. You know, in other words, he's,
okay.
he actually, you know, probably waxes his eyebrows or something, you know, some weird stuff. You know, he fixes himself up.
We're not saying you're weird if you wax your eyebrows, though, but you know.
Oh, I didn't know you waxed your eyebrows.
To my Pat.
Oh, pfft.
I don't think so.
That is Bush's man. He is. And
everything. I can't wax these buddies.
He's just a weed eater. A weed whacker. That's a weed whacker. I do. And so, you know, and so you see this man that's in his full dress, or a woman in her full dress that she could be, you know, in Vogue magazine or something. And she's got all these, you know, Louis Vuitton type stuff, purses and dresses and, you know, whatever. And she's beautiful. But she passes by, and he passes by this man who's sitting there with his elbows on his knees. He's looking down. He's lost his apartment, and things are coming to an end in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, what the culture has told us is that these are two different people and God thinks differently about them.
Right.
So much mm-hmm. so that these two people who could probably finance that apartment, you know, had no obligation in the eyes of God to be able to find out what was wrong in this man's life.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the truth is that's not God's perspective. And we want to find out, you know, God's made them both. And so when you think about it, this is what I think about. I think about Lazarus and the rich young ruler, you know, and mm-hmm. Luke, you know, when he's talking about it, when Jesus says this, he says, listen, he describes this very scene. Mm-hmm. He said, there was a rich man who was dressed in a 3-piece suit. No, he was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of America.
Right.
And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. Ooh. Covered with sores. He had like sores on his body. And longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, how many people just walk past the situation not realizing God made that man?
Right.
And that's what Mother Teresa says. I see the face of Jesus in these folks, mm-hmm. you know, in the suffering. And this is Jesus talking.
Wow.
And he says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side.
Mm-hmm.
The rich man also died and they buried him. You notice that the Lazarus was carried and the rich man was buried.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it?
It is.
In hell, where he was tormented, he was looking up. This is the rich man. He's being tormented now in hell. And he looked up and he saw Abraham far away. And Lazarus was right by his side. This very guy that he passed every day was right by his side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water, in the cool, and touch my tongue with this cool water because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things.
Mm.
Remember, you've already got your good things already, while Lazarus received bad things.
Mm.
But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm. It's been fixed, so we can't even pass back and forth to see each other. Then he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied this, they have Moses and the prophets. Mm-hmm. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead, it's Jesus, right? Someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent. He said to them, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone is raised from the dead.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
How do you respond to the Lazarus in your community? America right now, with the innocent blood being shed, and how we're responding to the poor. We're telling them that they don't deserve medical treatment.
Right.
We are like the richest country on the face of the earth, and we're justifying not providing for the poor. Mm-hmm. And it's like we've got to readjust and get God's perspective. I just want to encourage you today as we're closing out in Proverbs 22:2. And the word of wisdom today is rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all.
So many things can happen in your life that you have no control of. Zero control of. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is if you become disabled or get hurt. According to some statistics, an illness or an accident will keep 1 in 5 workers out of work for at least a year before the age of 65.
Wow.
Okay? 1 in 7 workers, according to the Commissioner's Disability Table of 1998, a Health Insurance Association of America, the New York Times, February 2000 says 1 in 7 workers can expect to be disabled for 5 years or more before retirement. They say the average long-term disability absence lasts 2.5 years. Think about that. We're talking about how fragile life is and how we need a perspective that anything could happen to anybody. The American Payroll Association did a survey called Getting Paid in America, and in 2008, they report that 71% of American employees live from paycheck to paycheck.
Mm.
71%, that's 7 people out of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck.
All right.
They say that unexpected illnesses and injuries cause 350,000 personal bankruptcies each year. Think about that. This is from the Illness and Injury Health Affairs. And they report this as of February 2nd, 2005. But they say that, we don't know what it is at this number now, but 2005 is not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But 350 personal bankruptcies each year from an unexpected illness or an injury. Disability causes nearly 50% of all mortgage foreclosures.
Wow.
50%, and 2% are caused by death. I mean, you got to think about this. You got to think about this because people are living today with the idea that I'm invincible, nothing happens, everything is okay, I'm the master of my own fate, I've got a 401k, I've got investments, I got a good job, I got this, I got that. And they think that they've created their wealth,
mm-hmm.
when in fact it's God that's given us the ability, Deuteronomy tells us, to gain wealth. And they live without a perspective of the poor that are among us. And sometimes even judge the poor. According to another statistic, according to the Federal Reserve, 44% of U.S. families spend more than they earn. 44%.
Mm.
And when you think about this, you think, okay, all right, this is what we call perspective, you know, perspective. And get this, in the U.S., a disabling injury occurs in the United States, a disabling injury occurs every 1 second.
Wow.
Every second, a disabling injury occurs, wow, and a fatal injury occurs every 4 minutes. And this comes from the National Safety Council of Injury Facts, 2008. You understand that every second in, wow, the United States, someone experiences a disabling injury, and every 4 minutes, someone passes away, dies from an injury. An accident is something you don't plan to happen. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was in one of my offices at the time. I had tile flooring, and I was getting on a chair. As you know, I had to go get something. And I was standing on this chair, and I had wheels on the chair. Not a smart thing to
do.
Wheels, office chair, oh, wow, you know. I just thought I'd get something real quick. And the chair started to move. Imagine that.
Mm.
And I almost came crashing down on this tile, and I was going to put my hand out. I was thinking, you know, I guess to stop my fall on the desk. And at the very least, I could probably have broken my arm, you know, with the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I something else caught me. Before I fell, I don't know, I leaned back on something and it caught, but I was headed straight down, and I was in the office all alone, no telling I could have been in there for how long.
Lord knows how long, yeah.
And I thank God I didn't get hurt that way, but it's not that easy. So, you know, what's the point here? The point is that we need to walk humbly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to walk lowly. We need to have an understanding that God, you know, I'm going to honor you. If you're a believer today and you're not even honoring God with your tithes and your offerings, that's not living in humility or gratitude. You know, this way that we honor God is by giving God what belongs to him. And George Barna says that only 3% of the church is actually even tithing and giving God what belongs to God. Listen, we're going to be talking about the hard, difficult days that lie ahead. We need to get things right with God in our own heart and our own lives. We need to be in God's right order. And we need to move in great compassion for those that are less fortunate. I encourage you today, open your eyes, get a better perspective, and let God move you, and let a heart of gratitude well up in your heart, and share it with your family. Because let me tell you, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.